Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for this day, and we're grateful for this great and awesome story we're going to be able to tell the next few days. We ask you to bless everybody's heart with it, Lord, and if anybody wants this story, all they need to do is contact us via our website or by telephone, and we'll be happy to send them the entire story. Father, we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can you imagine? I've got to have the faith to make it happen, and they see it happen, and they still don't believe it. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's where about 95% of the church is living today. We don't believe this book. So I'm believing this book. This book cannot fail me unless I doubt. You know that? If I doubt, that is the only thing that can make this book fail me. And so they pull the tube and she breathes. And then the doctor comes in a little while later and he says, "Sir, we didn't think she's going to live." Said, "Well, we've done all the tests that first day." Said, "Her right knee is crushed." And said, "Her left leg is broke right here and right down there." He said, "Now that it appears she's going to live, we need right now to go in and do surgery on that right knee, because if we don't," said, "it's so crushed she'll never be able to walk." I said, "No, sir." He said, "Sir, you don't understand." I said, "No, sir, you don't understand." I said, "The same Jesus that made her breathe and made her cough will fix that knee, and he'll do it a whole lot better than y'all will." And he said, "Sir, if I don't put pins and screws in that knee, that girl will never walk again." I said, "If you put pins and screws in that knee, that girl will have trouble with that knee all of her life." I said, "And when my Jesus gets through that knee, she won't never have no more trouble with it, and you ain't going to touch that knee." He said, "So I can't believe you." I said, "Okay, well, just believe it." And so I turned to her dad. He said, "But her daddy's the final authority." I said, "Toby, what do you say?" Now, Toby's seen all these other miracles. He said, "I'm telling you, I'm with dad." He says, "You don't touch her knee? You don't touch my baby's knee." So we go for a month. We finally get out of ICU a month later. 4 total weeks for an ICU. Send her up to a room. Every day I lay hands on her and pray for her. Command her body to be well in the name of Jesus. 2 more weeks come and go. 6 weeks now. We're going to take her home. Doctor says, "Take this wheelchair and take this special bed and everything, because she won't never be able to move on her own." I said, "Oh, yeah. She'll walk, she'll talk, she'll run, she'll play, she'll do everything." He said, "It's impossible. They've already seen all this other stuff, and it's still impossible." So I get this little girl home. I said, "We don't need that wheelchair." He said, "Look, you have to take the wheelchair." I said, "Okay." He said, "We're going to make a special one for her. Take about 3 months, and so you'll have one that she can ride around in. It'll be her own." I said, "Hey, don't start, because you ain't going to need it." He said, "No, that's all right. We'll measure. We'll go ahead and build you a wheelchair." Nobody believes you anymore. So I get her home, and I set her up in the bed, and I set up, and I say, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to set up, Caitlin, in Jesus' name." And I turn to listen, she falls over. I do that over and over and over until she can set up. And then I take her out of the bed, and I stand her on the floor. I said, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to stand in Jesus' name." I turn to Lucy and she falls down. I pick her up and put her upside that bed and say, "In the name of Jesus, I command them legs to be strong, and I command you to stand in the name of Jesus until she can stand." I said, "Now then, walk in the name of Jesus." And we do this over and over, a step or two at a time, and she'd fall down. I'd pick her back up and say, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to walk in Jesus' name." And when that first little social worker come up there and she said, "Well, I came to help y'all on therapy with Caitlin." By this time, she's sitting on the couch all by herself. This girl walked in. She said, "I'm looking for a little 3-year-old by the name of Caitlin." I said, "Honey, that's her sitting right there." "That can't be her." I said, "Honey, what is it? I'm her grandfather. I know who she is." She said, "But this information says her brain stem is severed. She can't be setting up like that." I said, "Well, Caitlin, won't you slide off the couch and walk for her?" And she slid off and walked across the floor, and the lady like to fell out. So anyway, we never did need a wheelchair. And now then she's back in school, running and playing, and as me and her played, and of course, January the 6th, she was still totally blind. She walked real slow because hold her hands up, she couldn't see anything. Stumble over things. I command her eyes to see in the name of Jesus. But January the 6th, still couldn't see a thing. So I thought, "Well, Lord, I guess you want the church to get see some of this glory. So I said, we moved into a brand new sanctuary. I said, January the 6th, the first day in there. I'm going to give the announcement this morning. In fact, I'm going to tell the youth minister, since we didn't have a pastor at that time at our church. I asked Derek, Derek, would you make an announcement this morning? I would like this afternoon at 2 o'clock for as many people would come, and we're going to bring Caitlin down here. We're going to pray that the Lord will open her eyes. Now, do you think that is a normal request to a youth minister in a Baptist church? Oh, you don't think so, huh? So I asked him to do that, and guess what he forgot to do? He didn't even make the announcement. You think he believed God would open her eyes? You think he was excited if I was about getting it done? No, he didn't believe God. It's unfortunate. We don't believe God. Even those of us in positions of authority in the church. So after church was over, that interim pastor, as I walked out, I said, you know, this church don't believe in prayer. He said, what do you mean? I mean, of course they do. I said, no, we don't. I said, just a little while ago, I told Derek, I want a special prayer request this afternoon for anybody that would come. And we pray for my granddaughter because she's totally blind, and I want the Lord to open her eyes, and I asked him to make that announcement, and he forgot it. I said, it hadn't been 30 minutes or an hour since I asked him, and he forgot it. So I said, well, I'll be back this afternoon. If nobody shows up, I'll be here with her and her daddy and my son and two or three other people that I've invited. I know some of us will be there. So they were having a dinner. I didn't stay for the dinner. One of the deacons heard about it. He made the announcement. Made the announcement. He called me and said, Thurman, we're so sorry that Derek didn't do that. Said, we made the announcement and there'll be people here. Okay. So I get back up there at 2 o'clock and about 40 people are there. I take this Bible and I start walking through these scriptures. I said, now, first thing today, folks, I know all of us, most of us here are Baptists, and I know most of us here have never seen a miracle. But I said, this little girl walking here, those of you that know this story already know this is a miracle right here. I said, and the miracle's not over. I said, I'm going to quote these promises. And I quoted those promises like John 14:13, 15:7, 16:23 and 24, Matthew 18:19. I quoted six different places in the Word of God where God gave me and you a blank check to pray. Ask anything you want. And I said, now then, I want each one of you to pray, take one of them promises to come before the king with, and I want you to ask the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus to restore my grandbaby's sight, and then I want you to thank him for doing it. And I don't want any prayers in here today, if it be your will. I don't want none of that kind of stuff because he made us a promise and gave us a blank check. I said, if you don't believe God's going to do it right now, I want you to go ahead and get up and go home because I don't want you here. I don't want any unbelief in this prayer meeting because everybody's going to see, say, is going to see the glory of God. They all say. We prayed for over 2 hours as we was in that big circle. She'd hear one of us praying, and she'd walk across that platform and across this big old wide floor, little, until she'd hear somebody, until she'd walk up and bump into me. I'd be down on my knees and my face praying, and she'd bump into my side. She'd stop right there beside Granddaddy. Couldn't see a thing. We all thanked the Lord and praised him on January the 6th for her eyes. And 3 weeks later, that little girl can see. What does God do? What can he do? That's right, brother. Who's going to make that happen? We are. He gave us a blank check. He made you the promises. Now then, it just comes down to the fact, are we going to believe him? That's the kicker, isn't it? Yes, people say, well, yes, Thurman, I know God can do it for me, but I don't know if he will or not. Well, if you don't know he will, he ain't going to do it for you. Until it becomes a reality to you, you cannot receive something by faith that you don't believe is yours. But the way I read that book, young lady, those promises become mine when I become a believer. Isn't it you? So, all we got to do is make sure our sins are confessed, believe God, stand on his word, and those promises belong to the church. They belong to you. They belong to me. But you have to receive them by faith. Total trust in it is written. Since I learned these things, I'm going to tell you that I learned reading the Word of God about 15 or 16 years ago that Jesus Christ died on the cross not only to save me, but to heal me and to redeem me from the curse. Now, I had been sick many times in my life since I was 11. I had had double pneumonia. I'd been down in my back a half a dozen times. I'd had many other things wrong with me. Flu, different, all kinds of diseases. But 15 to 16 years ago, sitting there studying the Word of God, one night I came upon a promise in Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10, and this is what it said. The Word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. The Word of faith that we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart the Father raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, I just happened to click in my computer on the word saved, and when I did, the word in the Greek pulled in the word sozo. And then the dictionary pulled in and said the word sozo means saved, healed, delivered, made whole, preserved, and helped. I said, wow, that word means all those things? So that means I could take that word and put it in that statement. The word is near me, it is in my mouth, my miracle is in my mouth. Whatever I confess with my mouth, believe with my heart, I will have it. And if I believe salvation, I'm saved. If I believe I'm healed, I'm healed. If I believe I'm made whole, I'm made whole. If I believe I'm delivered, I'm delivered. If I believe, it's mine. And so I looked up the word sozo in the Greek and found out the word sozo was used 120 times in 103 verses in the Word of God. So I went back to Genesis, all the way to Matthew, to Revelation, and read every one of them. And as I did, when I got through reading all those hours later, I said, Lord, I'm more confused right now than I've ever been in my life. I said, if I read this right, you not only saved me on the cross, you healed me on the cross, you delivered me on the cross, you set me free from the curse on the cross, you give me prosperity on the cross, everything is mine. I said, Lord, if that's true, why have I been sick so many times since I accepted you as my Lord and Savior when I was 11 years old? And he spoke to me again in a voice I could hear just as clear. He said, son, you have never received me as your healer by faith in my word. I said, Lord, do you mean I have to do everything by faith? He said, if you get it, you do. That's pretty clear. So I fell on my knees that night, raised my hands, and I said, Father, I see it. You are a faith God.
Now, we'll start right there tomorrow with a continuation of this story. But if you'd like to have this entire story, which we will continue on with this week, we'll be happy to send it to you. All you need to do is contact us on the web at www.tlsm.org. TLSM.org. And we'll be happy to send you the Caitlin story in its entirety on audio, video, or whatever. Or if you would call us at 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to mail it to you. 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to mail it to you. And also, we have many other teachings on the web. We'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid if you'll just contact us. Praise the Lord Jesus, and remember, Jesus is Lord.